This is the Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne and Company on VOCM. For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your host of the Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
For those about to rock, I salute you. And for those who already have, you're okay too. My name's Andrew Hawthorne. Welcome to the Lunch Bunch. It's been a bit of a rocky day here in the VOCM newsroom. Of course, there's political shenanigans and goings on out here, but we always have time for some sweet music, and that's what we're talking about here on my show. Today, I'd like to welcome to the studio three gents who are looking to found a Newfoundland and Labrador Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, both theoretically and physically. I'm welcoming to the studio Bill Sharp. How you doing, Bill?
How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing very well. I've got Wayne Sturge over here.
Good day, Andrew.
And Greg Dodd as well. How you doing, Greg?
Good. How you doing, sir?
I'm excited about this. This is a really great idea. On the weekend coming up, this Sunday, March 1st. Is that this Sunday or next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
I'm losing track of time here. It's all just one big snow shoveling event to me at this point.
Me too.
Yeah. Sunday, March 1st, you're going to be having a fundraiser here for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a tribute jam for more rock and roll music. And memories at the Bella Vista. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's going to be about, what the event is going to be about?
Well, we've had, up to this point in time, we've had three of them, I think, tribute jams. And we initially, the first thing that we did is we put out a word to a lot of the musicians to come in for a meeting. And so we had a meeting that took place at the Bella Vista. We had a good turnout there. And all the guys all thought it was a great idea to do this type of thing. So after that, then we said, okay, let's start a few tribute jams to raise a few dollars so that we can start get the process moving and try and see what we can do. So we've had three jams since that time, and now this is our fourth one coming up.
And how many people are we talking about here? You're talking about trying to encapsulate kind of a whole community.
You mean the total number of musicians?
How many people, musicians-wise, have you been talking to?
Well, I think we've been talking to, a couple of hundred?
Yeah.
The first couple of jams, we've had 7 to 8 different bands on stage.
Wow.
Plus special guests. And now we're only talking 4-hour period. Yeah. And the first two jams, what we did is all the proceeds we donated to the Food Sharing Network and the School Lunch Program and a few private musicians' funds. But the last Tribute Jam 3, what we said is, we're all involved in music. We've been involved in music since the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Some of us are still at it. We said, we need to remember and promote the rock and roll musicians from that era. We need an NL Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that was the goal that we set on the last jam, is to establish a local Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The musicians from these eras, they're from the baby boom generation, which is the biggest demographic in Newfoundland ever. We believe that the rock and roll music was the most music played by any of the musicians in Newfoundland, just by sheer numbers. So we believe that they've sort of gone unforgotten. There's no monument to these guys. We're all getting older. Some are passing on. So we think it's time to have a physical monument to all these guys who gave so much to the music culture of Newfoundland.
Yeah, it's something. You know, we have such a rich musical culture here and heritage, a living culture that is still going on. But when you talk about our history, I guess Newfoundland has always had a problem preserving its history no matter what era you're talking about, you know, and its culture. But when you talk about musical culture here and preserving that, really you're talking about kind of the traditional Irish stuff that dominates here locally. You're talking about Harry Hibbs, you're talking about Sim and I, and you're not talking about kind of the giants of rock that we've had here homegrown in the province.
And incidentally, Sim Savory, you mentioned similar, Sim Savory played in a rock and roll band. Now, in the early days, Gord Quinton played in a rock and roll band. I mean, they sort of all got their chops or their start, or they moved through rock and roll. A lot of musicians, a lot of businessmen, a lot of people in Newfoundland played rock and roll music. And like Bill was saying earlier, we're all getting older, and you know, we got to establish something to recognize the contribution that these people have made to the music scene in Newfoundland.
So some of these shows, you know, these jams you're doing are kind of resurrecting these acts in a way. Like, what kind of classic acts are you seeing when you go to one of these jams?
We put together an invite that invited everybody from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and we had one gentleman really surprised us, came up from St. Lawrence.
Grand Bank area.
He was 81 years old.
Yes, man.
And he came on stage, and we were expecting nothing. He rocked the room down, and he had so much fun. He hadn't played, like, he still played at home, but he hadn't been in front of a stage for like 30 years in front of an audience.
And that was George Grandy.
George Grandy.
What was he rocking? Is he playing guitar?
He was playing guitar, and he had his sons around him. He was singing. All the 50s, 60s things. We have like Bob Frelick come from the Commanders. I mean, the Commanders are on the go since the 50s. Bob is still playing.
Yeah.
Bob's close to 79 years old? Right?
Yeah. Lou Skinner.
Lou Skinner from the Ducats. I mean, that's the heart of rock and roll for Newfoundland was the Ducats.
He was there. He's still playing. He was there from the very beginning, yeah. Back in the, you know, 59, 60.
Yeah.
He's still playing today, and he's playing great. Gord Tracy, another one who's still in the rock room.
He's Newfoundland's Elvis. And he
Newfoundland's Elvis.
Oh yeah, and he really is.
What'd you say his name was? So what makes him Newfoundland's Elvis? Is it just the hair or
no? Well, the whole
he still lives the persona of Elvis.
That's incredible.
He has a similarity to him. He has the sound. He knows how to do Elvis, right? And of course, he made a career in this in the 60s, early 70s.
Well, that's right. Yeah. When Gord started back in the day, he was with the Viscounts and Delrays.
Yes.
And he became known as the guy who could sing the Elvis songs really good, and everybody followed the Delrays and Viscounts around.
Yep.
So after all of that, then Gord still continued on, and he did his own, when Lou Skinner and the Ducats had their own show, they would go out to the Ducats show band, they'd bring out guys to do...
Jim Hennessy did
cover
Roy
versions.
Orbison.
Yeah. Paul Bradbury did Little Richard, was it?
Little Richard.
Gord Tracy did Elvis.
Wow.
The interesting thing, it all started, I think, with the Viscounts, and that Gord was singing just the regular rock and roll songs of the day. At one event, this girl came up and said, can you do an Elvis song? He never, ever did any Elvis songs. He said, well, what I'll do is I'll learn one this week, and we'll play it next week. He played it the following week. Place went crazy. They said, play more Elvis, and he ended up playing Elvis. So anybody from our generation, if you say Gord Tracy, they say, oh, Elvis, because he has the uniforms, he has the jumpsuits, the hair. He even went to Memphis and recorded an album in Memphis for himself, for his own. He loves Elvis, and he's great at it.
That's incredible, and it's everything you're saying is stuff that needs to be preserved, you know?
Yeah.
This is the musical history of this place. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going into the heart of Newfoundland rock and roll. Stay tuned, folks.
Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. We're talking about the heart of rock and roll here. Newfoundland and Labrador's rock and roll pioneers are putting together, doing a bunch of jams to do a Newfoundland and Labrador Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to celebrate the true rock acts that we've had here in this province over the years. I'm being joined by Bill Sharp, Wayne Sturge, and Greg Dodd today. And Greg, you wrote the book on this, literally.
Well, myself and Wayne put it together. We released DVD, CD box set along with Mac Barefoot, and then after the following year, myself and Wayne put out a book, and because what we were getting was people were asking for pictures from the DVD and that, and we was just too crazy, so we said, okay, we put the book, and sort of that got us where we are today, because people were saying, well, you got to take this further, and we tried to develop something, it never worked, and then finally in 2015, we put this committee together. There's two other members on the committee, there's Reg House and Ted Doyle, so there's five. It's all volunteer. We've all got a passion for this. And again, I reiterate, we got to get this history out chapter so people remember the contribution that rock and roll musicians made to the musical culture of Newfoundland. And
absolutely.
Labrador.
It's vital to do so. So let's just go back for a moment and talk about like the core of what we're talking about, you know, 50s and 60s and 70s. Just describe to our listeners, like, what was the scene back then? So if you're a young person, rock and roll is just starting to happen.
Well, I'd like to start off with the tribute jams we've had to date have taken place at the Old Mill. And that was because the Old Mill has such history with the older bands. So, you know, back then you had the bands would get together and they'd be playing in a club. And I don't know how many guys were musicians, young fellas, that weren't old enough to get into the club, but yet they managed to get in somehow and play. I mean, you know, like Brian McLeod was only 13, 14 years old when he started playing in clubs, right? But the club scene was the thing that got the bands on the go. I mean, you had the Old Mill, you had the Bella Vista, was got a rich heritage, right?
Which is the site of our next jam, by the way.
Yeah, that's the site of our next jam.
March 1st,
right?
Yeah.
So, and then you had the Goldenstein, the Silverstein, the Old Colony was big with the big band things even, right?
Back in the day, right now, everything seems to be focused on just George Street.
George
downtown.
Street, yeah.
But back then, I mean, you could go to the East End, the West End, Central, yes. Out over Tops of Road. There was clubs everywhere.
And all across Newfoundland.
Yeah. You had Central, you had where the Half and Half, the Plus One came from, on the West Coast where the Ducats came from, Lab City, you had the Crystals and the Keatniks were up there. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bands. And the good thing was that there was certain levels of clubs. So anybody starting out sort of played in these clubs, and then they got better, they graduated to these clubs.
The bigger scenes, okay.
And the bigger scene and so on. But there was a system, an unofficial system in place where somebody starting out could learn their chops, get started, get established, and then move into the more established places. And I don't know if that's around today. I'm not connected to any of that. I mean,
well, it's even a bit more basic. Besides the clubs, there was always the schools. That's where the bands started.
Sock hop. Of
course. Always
in the gym.
Sock hop.
Yeah, there you go.
Right now,
yeah.
Sock hop is a term you don't even hear today.
We used to play at McPherson.
McPherson.
Grade 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I was an older guy. I was 15.
I went to McPherson. That gym, you can't fit five people into.
Well, McPherson on Friday afternoon was the place to go if you were in a heavy metal band or a rock band. And you had 4 o'clock till 7, you had a sock hop. Mm. And that's where we learned all our chops at McPherson Stadium.
A heavy metal sock hop?
Oh, most
that explains right. Yeah, the state of McPherson when I got to it.
We got to Riverdale Tennis Club on Friday night, and you'd play for the door. So we'd be delighted to walk home with $3 to $4 each. And we used to walk, like I used to get 4 guys to carry my drums, and we'd walk across town to go and play the gig, right?
Oh, geez.
It was so much fun. Yes.
We'd be down to Barry's, so I'd walk home with $10 in my pocket.
Yeah, big times.
And there was places like that, like Barry's and the parish halls. Yeah. They'd have dances.
And
the young teenagers would all show up. There'd be lineups outside. And that. I don't know if that goes on today. It sort of gave people a love for the music. And I think why it happened so much like that, it was just the baby boom generation. There was just so many people around.
What you're describing, too, what's interesting about it compared to today, at least my feeling on today, is, as you said, today it's much more concentrated. We have areas like downtown here in St. John's, in Duckworth, we've got the Duke. But you're talking about places that are spread out all over the place, all over the province. You know, it's dispersed.
Like I said, very whole livings, ways of life.
Well, Marystown, you had Holyrood section. That was another bunch of clubs up there that you could play for. If you were a young band starting out trying to look for places to play in that and get your chops going, you could go all over this island. Well, I'd say for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, and not play the same place twice.
Yeah, we could go for, like, I play 7 nights a week for like 15 years at all different venues.
And, you know, you're naming off all these guys that were legends back then, and this isn't the kind of stuff that you can just find anywhere online now.
No.
Unfortunately, you know? Not. Like, you've got a band like the Garrison Hills started out in, what, 66, 67? They started out as the Ambassadors. They morphed into the Garrison Hill. From that band came great musicians, and they were on a level, I believe, they were on a level with your Lighthouse, your Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Yeah. Unfortunately, the business part of the music business, was not developed here in Newfoundland. Yeah. So I think they needed to go to that next step, mm-hmm. and the business end of it wasn't there for them to take them there.
I got to use your segue for a second, and one of the reasons we're here. Use it as a segue. You just mentioned Garrison Hill. Yeah. And, of course, I play in Billy and the Bruisers, and I just lost my band just lost our organ player, Robbie Mills, who played with Garrison Hill. And he was brought here from Nova Scotia to play with Garrison Hill in 1971. And unfortunately, he's an example of why we're here. We just lost him last month. Right?
And it shows how urgent it is to preserve this stuff, because it's not just paying tribute to people while they're still here, but capturing those stories and the history that only they know.
Bill has a number of how many we lost last year. How many did we lose last year, Bill?
Do you know how many we lost last year, you said?
We were counting 13, 14 musicians we lost just in the past year. We had one gentleman, Bambrick, John Bambrick? No, Bob Bambrick. Played with the
Bel-Air. He started with the Bel-Airs back in 59, 60. Yeah. They were a band that one of the pioneer rock and roll bands. They morphed into the BDS collection. Yeah. Bob played at our one of our jams last year.
Last year he played, and just a couple of months later, Bob was gone.
Yeah. The benefit was we had a reunion of the original Bel-Airs. We had them all, and they played at Wayne got him on tape and on video, which is great. And unfortunately, we lost Bob last year.
And that's an example of what we're talking about.
Yes, it's urgent. And there's also Rocky Wiseman. Don't forget Rocky.
The great Rocky.
He was one. He went last year. Yeah.
We're going to, all this stuff needs to be preserved. We're going to play a little bit about what we're talking about here before we go to the next ad break. Stay tuned with us, folks, because we're talking about how you can find out more about this stuff and get involved with the Newfoundland Labrador Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But until then, we're going to hear from the Ducats.
Hey, hey, woman, you really do things to me. Hey, 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 woman. Hey, hey, woman, why don't you let me be? Hey, 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 woman. My heart starts jumping when you're so proud. My heart starts jumping and it makes me cry. Hey, 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 woman, I'm not ready for you. Hey, 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 woman. Hey, hey, woman, so why should I?
Back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, homegrown Newfoundland and Labrador rock and roll, is what we're talking about today. I've got Bill Sharp, Wayne Sturge, and Greg Dodd here in the studio. Just before the commercial, you heard a little bit of Hey Woman from the Ducats. That was the first rock song ever recorded in Newfoundland and Labrador.
The first all-original rock and roll song to be released in Newfoundland, and it came out in December 64, Wayne?
Yeah, 64.
December 1964. That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. And how if we were playing it here on the radio, and I was just a schmuck walking around downtown, how do I go about getting, like, where would I go to find that now?
Good luck.
Exactly.
Now, luck. That's right.
There are people who collect vinyl. That's sought after. That 45 record is sought after the world over.
Yeah.
You know, there's requests every time one appears that there's a bidding war for it.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean, like, just there is your entire argument for why this needs to be preserved and propagated and gotten out there for people to hear of. There's a whole history of our local music that we don't have.
And we spoke about Gord Tracy earlier. His band, the Constellations, who came a little later, they put out an album which was the first all-original pop album to come out of Newfoundland.
Pop album, and then Borealis.
And Borealis,
Wayne, did the first rock album,
all-original. original rock album to come out of Newfoundland, Borealis. And Borealis also had Paul Bradbury in it, who used to work here at VOCM.
He spent years here. Yeah.
Thank you,
and Paul also released this province's first children's album, Professor Fuddle's Fantastic Fairy Tale Machine.
Professor Fuddle, what happens in that?
It's a great album. And it is sought after, too. That was all original.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history with the rock and roll music in Newfoundland that we got to get it out there before we're gone.
But the amazing thing about music history especially is that the people that made it age, unfortunately, but the music doesn't, and it gets rediscovered by a later generation. Like, wow, I had no idea this stuff was here. This music was so vital. At the dawn of rock and roll and the birth of teen culture and all of that stuff was happening right here. You don't have to go to the U.S. just to find
exactly.
Buddy Holly and the Crickets or something.
And the Ravens. Everybody knows the Ravens. What they released, their 45, is strictly blues. And it's a belief that they were probably one of the first to bring blues to Newfoundland, to expose the general public to blue type of blues music, right?
And one other point I'd make, not only with the music over the radio airwaves, but with the Dick Clark thing that took the video scene, we had our own Dick Clark in the name of Art Andrews. So he got a lot of local bands on TV for us.
Yeah,
so
you know, all of this stuff needs to be talked about and remembered again.
And this was happening during the 60s and 70s, so there was a lot of music on the go for the teenagers and the young adults.
Absolutely. All right, well, we only got a minute left, so let's talk about the event. So March 1st, Sunday, March 1st, here at the Bella Vista in St. John's, Bigger and Better at the Bell, Newfoundland Labrador's Rock and Roll Pioneers. What are people going to see when they go to that?
They're going to see at least five local pioneer bands, plus some surprises. Right now, we've got a lot of interest, people who want to perform in that. We're purging that down to what we can handle because there's only so much time in one day. And once we have our meeting, and we're going to purge it down to a great act. Anybody who's been there before realizes that this is a pretty good. You got to like rock and roll. If you don't like rock and roll, you're going to be bored. But the last
who doesn't like rock and roll?
But the last three events that we had, the place was blocked, and there was hundreds of people waiting to get in from outside. So
let me segue that one, because that's one of the reasons we're moving to the Bella Vista, which is a traditional rock and roll space, but we have twice the room. So we have room for 400 people on Sunday, March 1st, so there shouldn't be much in the lineups. You should all be welcome to have a good time with us.
We got lots of room, and it's still a cash donation at the door, so everybody is welcome.
Room right? for everybody.
Yep.
That's been your Lunch Bunch for today. Bill, Wayne, Greg, thank you so much for coming in. This has been incredible.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.
Take care, folks. This is going to be online later if you want to share that song with everybody, and you should. See you tomorrow.